General Organic Biochemistry, a survey. In this unit, we're going to talk about a very important topic of weak electrolytes. Well, why are some acids strong and others are not? What causes this? And does it matter what solvent we're using, what solvent the acid happens to be in? 7 is a strange number to be neutral. Why is 7 the neutral point on the pH scale? And if our body's pH is so critical, then why don't we become ill or even die from drinking acidic orange juice? What are buffers? And how do they work? In this unit, we're going to talk about strong and weak acids and how we differentiate between them. We're going to talk about the meaning of pH. We're going to talk about the role that water has to play in pH. We'll talk about buffers, and then we're going to apply this to physiological systems. Now that we have talked about electrolytes, you are ready for a study of strong and weak acids. The study is very important in your progress as you go into organic and into biochemistry, because it's strong and weak acids that very, very often influence the pH of the body and the way the body manages its systems. Now, to get to this point means that you've covered a lot of chemistry, and you're to be congratulated for getting this far. But now we're going to take this to another level and speak a language that is spoken by a very few. Think back on what we did with electrolytes in the last unit. Remember, we talked about electrolytes and what they were, and the fact that some electrolytes were strong, and we demonstrated that with a light that turned on very brightly when we put the electrodes or the probes into saltwater solution. And then that same light turned on weakly when we put it into acetic acid solution. And it turned on not at all in a sugar solution. And so we talked about the differences between strong electrolytes, weak electrolytes, and non-electrolytes. And now we're going to apply that to acid-base chemistry. It's a fascinating subject. Let's get started. Strong and weak acids. We recognize acids in general by the fact that they have hydrogen at the beginning of the formula. For example, hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, and acetic acid. But how do we tell the difference between strong acids and weak acids? Well, let's look at it. Strong acids completely separate into hydrogen ions and the corresponding anion, like this. Hydrochloric acid will dissociate into hydrogen ions and chloride ions. Actually, in this case, it ionizes into hydrogen ions and chloride ions. But a more accurate way of depicting it is like this. The hydrochloric acid, in the presence of water, forms hydronium ions and chloride ions. You see that little hydrogen ion up there? Well, he's just a little proton. And he bonds on to the extra electrons on the oxygen in the water molecule and sticks there. So what happens then is hydrochloric acid reacts with water to produce what we call a hydronium ion plus chloride ion. Now, this hydronium ion you will often see, and think of it as another way of writing a hydrogen ion when you have it in a water solution. What are strong acids? Well, strong acids are, you're just going to learn them, hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, and nitric acid. Is that all? Oh, no. There are a few others. But for the purpose of this course, you need to learn, memorize these three as being strong acids. So get out your flashcard and on one side put strong acids and on the other write the formulas for these three. make sure you know that these three acids are strong. And for our purposes, we're going to consider all other acids as being weak, unless we specifically tell you otherwise. Why are these acids strong? Well, remember, they've ionized virtually 100% in water. When you have hydrochloric acid or hydrogen chloride dissolved in water, it ionizes to form hydrogen ions and chloride ions, and that's the way it exists in solution. Or, of course, the better way of writing it is to say that the hydrogen chloride in water produces the hydronium ion and the chloride ion, virtually 100%. Now, weak acids also separate into hydrogen ions and their corresponding anion. But this happens to only a very limited extent and to varying extents depending on the acid. For example, here's acetic acid. Now, acetic acid dissociates to give you some hydrogen ions and acetate ions. But hydrogen ions and acetate ions will come together and reform the acetic acid so that at any point in time you have, in this case, predominantly molecular acetic acid with some hydrogen ions and some acetate ions. You need to pay very careful attention to the arrows. That is your cue. Because unlike strong acids, you see those arrows right there? Unlike the strong acids in which we wrote the arrow going only in one direction, the hydrogen ion and the acetate ion in these cases of the weak acids will reunite to reform the weak acid in the molecular form, so that at any point in time, there is a lot of the molecular form and some of the ion form. So pay attention to those arrows. When you have arrows going in both directions, that means that you have an equilibrium existing. Now, what am I talking about? Well, it's a balance. You have some acetate ions and hydrogen ions getting together, reforming molecular acetic acid at the same rate that the molecular acetic acid is ionizing to form hydrogen ions and acetate ions. It's a balance. So some of the molecules are ionizing, and some of the ions are reforming the molecules at the same time. So we indicate this by showing the arrows going in both directions, and that indicates an equilibrium. The concentrations of the hydrogen ion and the anion stay the same, unless you do something to change it. Now, if we could put a label on the hydrogen ion and a different label on an acetate ion, and we could put a red flag on a hydrogen ion and every other hydrogen ion had a blue flag, then you would see the red flag appearing as an ion and then appearing in the molecule. In other words, the same ions are not going to be ions all the time. Sometimes they're going to be ions, and sometimes they're going to be molecules. Well, we're going to look at more closely at this balance, at the fact that the concentrations of the hydrogen ion and the anion stay the same, unless you do something to change that. We're going to look at that a lot more in just a few minutes. Let's talk now about the meaning of pH, and then we're going to go back and drag in all that other stuff and hopefully bring it together and have it work for you. You're probably familiar with a pH scale. Yeah, you've probably known it since you were in elementary school, but let's look at it anyway. The pH scale is a scale of acidity, or how basic something is, either way you want to say it. What happens is, it begins at a neutral point of 7, and it runs in both directions. This part down here is acid. In other words, a pH of less than 7 is acetic, and a pH of more than 7 is basic, and a pH right on the button of 7 is neutral. Okay. But that didn't answer the question. Just exactly what is pH? Well, it's a convenient way to talk about some awkward numbers. And then, you know, these solutions that we're talking about are very dilute. And the hydrogen ion concentration is very, very tiny. And pH is a very clear way to talk about these tiny numbers. Well, you say, well, that's what we have scientific notation for. Uh-huh. And frankly, part of this came from scientific notation. Okay, but what is pH? Well, pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. What does the brackets mean? Well, that's just a shorthand for concentration of. So pH is the negative log bracket hydrogen ion, close bracket. But what we mean is the pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Well, let's find the pH. And we're going to find the pH using a very, very weak solution of a strong acid first. We're going to start with strong acids, then we're going to go to weak acids. What is the pH of a 0.0025 molar hydrochloric acid solution? Well, as we said, the pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. So we need to know the concentration of the hydrogen ion. And the concentration of the hydrogen ion is 0.0025. Now, wait a minute, you say, how did you know that? Well, look at it like this. Suppose you have a carrot. And you take this carrot and you pop off its top. Then you have a carrot and a top. Suppose you have 10 carrots and you pop off the tops. Then you have 10 carrots and 10 tops. In other words, the carrot is acting like a strong acid. It breaks up entirely. So the hydrochloric acid also breaks up entirely. So whatever concentration of hydrochloric acid you have, that is the concentration of the hydrogen ion that you have in solution. So when we take this 0.0025 and put it into our calculator and find the negative log of it, we get a pH of 2.6. Here, let me show you how to put it into your calculator. Look at this step. The pH is the negative log of 0.0025. So what you do is you input this into your calculator. 0.0025, got that? Then touch log, and then let's change the sign by touching the plus minus key. If you don't have a plus minus key, maybe you have a change sign key. If you don't have that, try using your parentheses around a negative sign. In any case, when you do that and put that in, and maybe hit equals, you should get a pH of 2.6. Got that? Look at it now and see if you can get it to work on your calculator. All right, let's go on. That ought to come out if you say equals and give you the pH. Oh, I tell you what, let's try some. You need to remember that nitric acid is a strong acid. And as a strong acid, remember that means that it ionizes virtually 100%. So since it ionizes virtually 100%, we will expect it to produce hydrogen ions and nitrate ions, and this to all essentially go away. So the concentration of the hydrogen ion then is going to be (0.0032 molar). Now, to find the pH, we know that pH is the negative log of the concentration of that hydrogen ion. So the pH then is going to be the negative log of 0.0032. Now, punch in .0032 into your calculator, take the log and change the sign, and you'll find the pH comes out to be, when you round it off, 2.5. And there's your answer. Now let's look at this next one. Notice that on the first one I have a concentration of 0.0032. And on the next one, I have a concentration of 0.032. In other words, this one is 10 times as strong. So with that in mind, let's see what happens when we find the pH of it. Well, it's again the same acid, strong acid. So the concentration then of the hydrogen ion is 0.032 molar this time. The pH, of course you know the pH, is the negative log of the concentration of that hydrogen ion. So the pH is the negative log of 0.032. Punch that into your calculator. And when I did that, I came out with 1.5. So 10 times as strong an acid. And look at the pH. It changes on this first number, doesn't it? Changes by a full unit on the pH scale. All right, got the idea? Be sure to practice a lot of these problems. Okay, let's try going the other way. Suppose we have this situation. The pH of a solution is 4.3, and we need to know the hydrogen ion concentration. Same process, look. The pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. So, 4.3 is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Multiplying both sides by negative 1, we get negative 4.3 is the log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Then, when we solve this, we find that the concentration of the hydrogen ion is 5 times 10 to the negative 5. But your question is, how do I put that into my calculator? Here, let me show you. We're at this point right here. Now, let's put it in. Put in 4.3, then change its sign using either the plus minus key or the change sign key or the minus in parentheses, whatever it takes. Then, and here's the key, hit 10 to the x. Because you see, logarithms are powers of 10, and that's what we're dealing with. Hit 10 to the x, and that should either give you the answer, or you should be able to hit equals and have 5 times 10 to the negative 5th, and that will be your concentration of the hydrogen ion. Got the idea? Let's try several. We need to make sure you understand how to work these. In this problem, we want to find the hydrogen ion concentration when the pH is 4.6. Now, we know that pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. We're trying to find the hydrogen ion concentration. The pH is 4.6, and that's equal to the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Now, let's get rid of this negative by multiplying both sides by negative 1. And we have negative 4.6 is equal to the log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Now, do this like I showed you. Input your 4.6, change the sign, and then take 10 to that power. And you're going to find out then that the hydrogen ion concentration is going to be 2.5 times 10 to the negative 5th power. 2.5 times 10 to the negative 5th. All right, let's try another one. What is the hydrogen ion concentration in an acid solution having a pH of 2.9? Well, let's do it again. Or tell you what, why don't you stop the video and try this one, and then when you're ready to see how it's worked, start the video back. I will then be glad to work it for you and let you see how to do it. The pH is 2.9. That means the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion is 2.9. I get rid of the negative sign so that I have the log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion is negative 2.9. I put in my 2.9, change the sign of it, and take 10 to the x powered. When I do, I find the concentration of the hydrogen ion is 1.3 times 10 to the negative third power. Are you getting the idea? Oh, I certainly hope so. Be sure to work lots of these problems. Now, in determining the pH of a weak acid, we have to remember that a weak acid doesn't ionize completely or very nearly completely like a strong acid does. And so we have to consider how much ionization occurs in a weak acid. For example, look at this weak acid, acetic acid. Now, when it ionizes, it starts out, it's in a molecule in water. And when it ionizes, it produces acetate ions and hydrogen ions. And it's those hydrogen ions that we need to measure in order to give us the pH. So the question becomes, how much does it ionize? Well, for example, if we have a 10th molar solution, how much hydrogen ions do we have? Well, we've got the dissociation right here. We see the acetic acid ionizing to give us acetate ions and hydrogen ions, but the problem is the acetate ions and the hydrogen ions rebond to form acetic acid. Remember? So, how much hydrogen ion we have depends on how much the acid ionizes or breaks up, and how much of the acid is consistently ionized or broken up. And there is a way to determine this. We can find the extent of ionization if we know what is called the ionization constant or the equilibrium constant for the weak acid. For example, here we have the weak acid, acetic acid, ionizing to give us acetate ion and hydrogen ion. The Ka, that is the equilibrium constant, or in this case, let's just call it the acid constant for acetic acid, is defined as the concentration of the hydrogen ion times the concentration of the acetate ion over the concentration of the unionized acetic acid. A simple way to think of it is this. The Ka for any weak acid is the product of the concentration of the products divided by the product of the concentration of the reactants. Now, do you remember that when you say product of something, that means multiply? Okay, we're going to do a problem to show you. Let's find the pH of a 0.15 molar acetic acid solution. Now, this is the way you go about doing it. You write the equation first. You need the equation. There's some notes you're going to make on it. And here's the equation. It's the acetic acid ionizing to produce acetate ion and hydrogen ion. Or you could write it hydrogen ion plus acetate ion. It really doesn't matter. But make sure you put the arrows going in both directions so you will know that this is an equilibrium. Now, the next thing you do is you ask these questions. Are you ready? Let's ask these questions. The first question is, what is the concentration of the unionized acetic acid? Well, the concentration of the unionized acetic acid for all practical purposes is 0.15 molar. Yes, part of that ionizes, but it is such a small part that we're not going to consider it as being significant. So the concentration of the unionized acetic acid is 0.15 molar. Now, what is the hydrogen ion concentration? Well, if I knew that, I could find the pH, couldn't I? So the answer is, I don't know. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. Well, what is the acetate ion concentration? Well, I don't know that either. But whatever it is, it's the same as the concentration of the hydrogen ion in this case. So it's also X. Now we can set up our solution to the problem. If you got all the information down, good. Let's go through and see how to solve it. We have these data. Now let's write the Ka expression. The Ka is the hydrogen ion concentration times the acetate ion concentration over the undissociated acetic acid. But you need the value for the Ka. And if you'll notice, I took the Ka for acetic acid. I looked it up, and it's 1.8 times 10 to the negative fifth. No, you don't need to memorize that. We will give you the Ka for each of the acids that we ask you a question about. Now let's fill in all the information in this expression. 1.8 times 10 to the negative fifth is equal to X, which is the hydrogen ion concentration, times X, which is the acetate ion concentration, over 0.15. That's the concentration of the undissociated acetic acid. Technically, folks, we should express that as 0.15 minus X. But that's going to get us into quadratic equations, and most of the time, the X is going to be insignificant in comparison to the concentration that we start out with. So we're just going to ignore that X in the denominator. So when we work this out and we multiply both sides by 0.15, we have X squared is equal to 1.8 times 10 to the negative fifth times 0.15, and that is 2.7 times 10 to the negative sixth. I'll stop for a minute, let you punch that in your calculator, and be sure you agree with me. Now, when I punched that into the calculator and I got my 2.7 times 10 to the negative 6, I now know that that is the value for X squared. So in order to solve for X, what do? I take the square root of both sides. The square root of X squared is X. The square root of 2.7 times 10 to the negative 6, just hit your square root button up there. And it comes out to be 1.6 times 10 to the negative third, or if you will, 0.0016 molar. Did you get that? Check, make sure you get that now. Now, what is this? What is this 1.6 times 10 to the negative third? Folks, that's X. That's the concentration of the hydrogen ion. Now we can find the pH. And the pH is, remember, the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. So let's plug it in. The pH is the negative log of 1.6 times 10 to the negative third. Remember how to put it in? Yeah, we tried it, didn't we? So you know how to put it in. That's right. And what did you come up with? When you changed the sign on that answer, you came up with a pH of 3.8. 3.8. Now, if you need to, stop the video right here and make sure you can go through and do the actual plugging into the calculator to see how to work it. 3.8, yeah. Let's try another problem. Let's find the pH of a 0.12 molar hydrogen cyanide solution. The Ka for hydrogen cyanide, or hydrocyanic acid, is 4 times 10 to the negative 10th. I'll always have to give you the Ka unless I'm asking you to solve for that and have given you enough information to do that. And here's the dissociation, here's the ionization of the hydrocyanic acid. HCN exists in equilibrium with hydrogen ions and cyanide ions. Now, let me show you how to work it. We're given the Ka for this acid, and the Ka we know is the concentration of the hydrogen ion times the concentration of the cyanide ion over the concentration of the undissociated hydrocyanic acid. The Ka is given to us as 4 times 10 to the negative 10th. Now, we need to know, what is the concentration of the hydrocyanic acid? Well, it's 0.12 molar. What's the concentration of the hydrogen ion? I don't know. That's X. I need to know that. What's the concentration of the cyanide ion? I don't know that either. That's also X. But I do know that the concentration of the cyanide ion and the concentration of the hydrogen ion are the same. So 4 times 10 to the negative 10 is equal to X times X over 0.12. In other words, 4 times 10 to the negative 10th is equal to X squared over 0.12. Now, when I work this out, I get the next step, X squared is equal to, and I multiplied 0.12 times 4 times 10 to the negative 10, and came out with 4.8 times 10 to the negative 11th power. Now let's take the square root of both sides, and the square root of X squared is X, and the square root of 4.8 times 10 to the negative 11th is 6.9 times 10 to the negative 6. Just punch your square root key on your computer, on your calculator. Now, you know that this 6.9 times 10 to the negative 6 is X, which happens to be the concentration of the hydrogen ion. So now we're ready to find the pH. The pH is the negative log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. So the pH is the negative log of 6.9 times 10 to the negative 6 power. So the pH, when you put that in, work it out through your calculator, comes out to be 5.2. And there's your answer. Go back over this carefully. Make sure you understand. Let's look at the role of water in this business of pH, because it's critical. pH is used for and only for aqueous solutions, solutions in water. Why is that? Well, it's water's ionization that sets the pH range. What? You didn't know water ionizes? Oh yeah, it does. Water exists in equilibrium with hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions. Remember that the next time you're chug-a-lugging down a bottle of water. That what you've got is water and some hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions. Now, because water ionizes, producing hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions, it has a Ka. And the Ka may be described as the hydrogen ion times the hydroxide ion over the concentration of water. Now, the concentration of, because the ionization is so slight, the concentration of water for all practical purposes doesn't change. So instead of calling it a Ka, we call it a Kw, because the amount of water or the concentration of the water doesn't change. So we have a Kw, and the Kw is the concentration of the hydrogen ion times the concentration of the hydroxide ion. Now, the Ka is something you're born knowing. The Ka for water, which is the Kw. The Kw is 1 times 10 to the negative 14. 1 times 10 to the negative 14. Remember that. Put it on a flashcard. On one side, put Kw, in parentheses, put water. And on the other side, put 1 times 10 to the negative 14. 1 times 10 to the negative 14th, then, is the hydrogen ion concentration times the hydroxide ion concentration. But when it's neutral, when water is neutral, it has the same amount of hydrogen ion and hydroxide ion. So if we take the hydrogen ion times the hydroxide ion equals 1 times 10 to the negative 14, we're going to find out that the hydrogen ion concentration is equal to the hydroxide ion concentration is equal to 1 times 10 to the negative 7. And sports fans, if you take the negative log of 1 times 10 to the negative 7, you get a pH of 7. And that is where the neutral thing comes in on the pH scale. It's all based on the ionization of water. That's right. So at a pH of 7, the concentration of the hydrogen ion and the concentration of the hydroxide ion are the same. They're both 1 times 10 to the negative 7th molar. And that's why at exactly neutral, we have a pH of 7. Do you understand? Now we're ready to talk about equilibrium so that we can get into buffers. So more about equilibrium. I like to describe equilibrium as like a seesaw or a teeter-totter. And if you get your seesaw balance just right, you're both sitting there level on that seesaw, everything is fine. But if you add any more weight to either side of that seesaw, it throws it out of balance, doesn't it? Well, it's the same thing with an equilibrium reaction. For example, if we have carbon dioxide plus water existing in equilibrium with a bicarbonate radical and the hydrogen ion, or the bicarbonate ion and the hydrogen ion, and we put it on a teeter-totter, this is the way it looks. When we put this reaction on this seesaw, we have carbon dioxide and water on one side, and bicarbonate and hydrogen ion on the other side. Now, we can get a good balance with this. It doesn't mean that we have equal amounts on either side. It just means that at this point, the carbon dioxide and water are reacting at the same rate the hydrogen ion and the bicarbonate ion are reacting. So we get a good balance here. Yeah, we're not saying now that they're equal quantities of everything, just that it's an equilibrium. I guess I should have moved the fulcrum over a little bit, but oh, I didn't. If you add something to either side, like this, if we add hydrogen ion, what's going to happen? It's going to go that way. Yeah, you're going to upset the balance, aren't you? Well, how can you correct it? Hey, you say I can add some CO2 and water to the other side. Yeah, but it can correct itself because some of that extra hydrogen ion can react with some of that bicarbonate ion, and that's where you can get your CO2 and water. So you can get some more CO2 and water, and it's going to balance out again. Now let's look at this equilibrium. What happens when we add more hydrogen ion? It reacted with a bicarbonate ion to produce carbon dioxide and water. In other words, the equilibrium shifted to the left. We started producing stuff on the left-hand side. What happens if we add more CO2? Well, the teeter-totter would sink on that side, wouldn't it? And the CO2 would have to react with water, producing bicarbonate ion and hydrogen ion to get it balanced again. Yeah, so the equilibrium shifts to the right. Now, look at this. Think. If the equilibrium were to shift to the right, that would increase the hydrogen ion concentration, wouldn't it? So it increases the hydrogen ion concentration, thus lowering the pH. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is called acidosis. That's called acidosis. So when we get too much CO2 in our system and it reacts with the water producing bicarbonate ion and hydrogen ion, it makes the system more acid. That's how we get acidosis. Well, what happens if we were to add more bicarbonate? Now you tell me. If we were to add extra HCO3 minus, what would happen? Did you say that the equilibrium would shift to the left? Well, it will. You take that bicarbonate, it grabs up that hydrogen ion, neutralizes it, runs over and forms carbon dioxide and water. Sure. So the thing shifts to the left. Well, what happens when we remove some hydrogen ion? Oh my goodness. If we remove some hydrogen ion, then stress is placed on this equilibrium. It doesn't like it. It wants to replace the hydrogen ion. How does it replace the hydrogen ion? It replaces the hydrogen ion when the carbon dioxide and the water react to produce bicarbonate ion and hydrogen ion. Yeah. And the equilibrium shifts to the right. And that process is called alkalosis. Alkalosis. That's right. Something has come in to take out hydrogen ion, to make the system more alkaline. That's right. And the thing is trying to replace it. The equilibrium is trying to replace the hydrogen ion that's been taken away. Now, it's possible to prevent these changes, which can be really strong changes in pH, by using something that is called a buffer. And a buffer generally, not always, usually consists of a weak acid, like acetic acid, and the salt of the weak acid, like sodium acetate. Acetic acid, sodium acetate, yeah. That will make something called a buffer. And here's the way a buffer works. Here you have your equilibrium. Over here on the left in the pot, you have acetic acid. Undissociated acetic acid. Over here on the right in the pot, you got acetate ions and hydrogen ions. Now, I had to put a whole bunch of acetate ions and hydrogen ions in there because I'm gonna need them to demonstrate something. Down at the bottom of the screen, you will see the equation that I've given you for the equilibrium. Now, a hydrogen ion comes in. Oh my goodness. The hydrogen ion comes in, what happens? Yeah, it weights down this side. And it says, I got to get rid of that extra hydrogen ion. Well, how does it do it? The hydrogen ion grabs an acetate ion and goes over here and forms some more acetic acid. And oh, when that happens, we're balanced again. Yeah, phew, thank goodness. See how that worked? So when you added extra acid to the system, the extra acetate ion grabbed hold of that hydrogen and formed the undissociated acetic acid, and that reduced the acidity. Now, from the equation standpoint, let's see how it works. First, consider the source of everything. This is our weak acid, acetic acid. This is the hydrogen ion from the acetic acid. And this is going to be the acetate ion from the weak acid and from the salt, sodium acetate. Sodium ion sits there as a spectator. The acetate ion is the thing that jumps into the fray. So we have the acetate ion then in there from both the dissociation of the weak acid and from the salt. Yeah. And when you add a small amount of acid from another source, maybe like hydrochloric acid, why, a little bit of the acetate ion reacts with it. And when the acetate ion reacts with it, it takes up some of that extra hydrogen ion and forms it into the acetic acid, keeping the hydrogen ion concentration from actually getting to change very much. If you add a small amount of a base, well, like hydroxide ion, what happens here? Well, when you add that hydroxide ion, that's going to react with the hydrogen ion forming water. And it pulls the extra hydrogen ion right out. And in that manner, you just get to maintain a nearly constant pH. Now, you can't add a lot of extra hydrogen ion in here because you'll overwhelm the buffer's ability to handle it. But for small amounts, yes, it'll work beautifully. How is this applied in the body? Well, you know that the maintenance of a nearly constant pH is critical to the function of the human body. You just can't have the pH of the system going awry very much. And there are several important pH values that you really ought to know. For example, the pH of blood is about 7.4. Can't vary very much, just a little bit. The pH of saliva is 5.8 to 7.1. From the somewhat acid range into the very tiny, slightest bit of basic range. It's generally kind of acid. Most of us have a fairly acidic saliva. And stomach or gastric juice has a pH of 1.6 to 1.8. That's very important in the digestive process. The body has three major buffer systems to maintain pH. We've discussed the first one, the bicarbonate system, a little bit. Not very much. It has the dihydrogen phosphate system, which we're not going to go into, and it has the protein amino acid system. And these three systems are critical to maintain the pH of the body. Let's go back and let's look at the bicarbonate system again. The bicarbonate system, remember, you've got carbon dioxide and water existing in equilibrium with the bicarbonate ion and the hydrogen ion. Yeah, remember that? Sure. And you may see it written like this, as H2CO3. Look at H2CO3. That's really carbon dioxide and water. And I don't care which way you write it, but I want you to be able to recognize it both ways. So the H2CO3, or the carbonic acid, dissociates, producing bicarbonate ion and hydrogen ion. But that's just another way of writing carbon dioxide dissolved in water. Now, let's think about it from the standpoint of carbon dioxide. What if you increase the carbon dioxide? What happens to the equilibrium? Well, if you increase the carbon dioxide, the equilibrium is going to shift to the right. Do you see that? It's going to shift to the right. Yeah. And it's going to make the system more acid, isn't it? The carbon dioxide has increased, the equilibrium shifts to the right, and the acidity increases. In other words, the pH goes down, and you need to be able to think it through. You need to be able to think it through. Any increase in acidity causes the equilibrium to shift. Now, suppose we add some extra hydrogen ion. Well, if we add extra hydrogen ion from drinking a bunch of orange juice, maybe, why, the equilibrium is going to shift to the left. And when it shifts to the left, the human body's got to respond to it. It shifts to the left, and you produce more carbon dioxide. And the carbon dioxide is dumped in the bloodstream, which brings it to the lungs, and you blow off carbon dioxide. That's right. So you add hydrogen ion. This is the way it affects the bicarbonate buffer system. Well, when we get over into proteins and amino acids and so forth, we'll mention a little bit about the other buffer system, the protein and amino acid buffer system. But that will come in the biochemistry part of this class. Wow, we've talked about a lot. We've talked about strong and weak acids, and you know what your strong acids are, and you know, as far as you're concerned, the rest of them are weak. You understand pH better now, I hope. You understand the meaning of it, and you understand where the 7 comes from, because you know about the role of water. You have a fair understanding of buffers and a little bit about the way in which they work and how all of this is applied to the human body or to other physiological systems. Yeah. A better way.